Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are in no rush, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
So Jonah, I know recently we talked about the tweet I dared you to do where you posted a photo of this turkey club sandwich you were eating and said a glow up on a classic turkey sub, and then you wrote hashtag glow up, and I still owe you $20 for that.
Yeah.
But did you have any updates since we talked about it on this podcast?
I do have some updates. Since the Andrew McMahon episode came out, this tweet has gotten a ton of buzz.
Wow.
It's got almost 1,600 views. We got 35 likes, 2 retweets. You got to remember, once I posted this, it had like 2 likes. So that's like a 5,000% increase. This tweet's picking up a lot of buzz. Uh-huh. Looking at it, it is a very weird photo. I got a lot of comments kind of referencing the podcast.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted, good thing that you paid for most of it, and hashtag sorry, not sorry. So people are clearly picking up on the vibe of this tweet. Yeah. And that's something, you know, I know we both truly appreciate.
Someone said this finally makes sense to them. They probably were kind of freaked. People are really kind of getting it now. And yeah.
And as people rediscover that episode, they're going to keep, you know, finding this photo, coming back to it, understanding the backstory, and just, it's going to take on a whole new life of its own. And it's just, yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah, really excited for you. Well, speaking of excited for you and me, we've got another very special episode today where we're going to talk about music videos. Yeah. Last time we did this was with the Guns N' Roses trilogy. This time we're doing a little episode called Music Videos Vanessa's Picks, where I've picked some music videos that I would like to talk about.
Yeah, so these are videos from growing up that we watched a lot that kind of, we were just kind of brainstorming. What are some videos that had a big impact on us? Because there seemed to be a really good reaction to the Guns N' Roses episode. And these videos are all tied together because they're Vanessa's picks. These are videos that you felt, you know, like you wanted to talk about. Let's just get into it, I think.
Let's get into it.
What's the first one?
The first one is Rush Rush by Paula Abdul. Now, I love this video for so many reasons, and I'm going to try and not spend this whole episode talking about it. But I thought of a story from my childhood that's actually pretty funny that is kind of related to this video that I'd like to tell really quickly, Jonah. When I was in like high school, I did this summer program at the University of Michigan. One day we were like taking some kind of a field trip and I was sitting with this guy who was really into music. He was sitting next to me in this bus and we started talking about Vitalogy and he and I talked for like 20 minutes, like the whole bus ride about Vitalogy. And like, we would be referencing like, I love the last song. Oh, the second to last song's so good. It's got such a good beat. We talked about Vitalogy for the entire car ride. And then when we were just about to arrive at the destination of wherever we were taking a field trip, I think we went to like Chuck E. Cheese, even though we were all teenagers and too old for, I don't know. But anyways, when we were about to get there, I realized that the whole time he had been talking about Pearl Jam's Vitalogy and I had been talking about Paula Abdul's Vibology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you say it or did you kind of try to cover for it?
In very not me fashion, I actually didn't come clean because I was like, this guy's going to think I'm such a dork if I'm referencing the one. But I thought the album was called Vibology. Actually, Vibology was just one of the songs on an album called Spellbound.
Okay.
Which Rush Rush is on also. But I was like, this is one time when I should really save myself. I knew that it would be so embarrassing and his respect level for me would drop so much if he thought I was talking about Vibology, he'd be like, what? So I got out of the bus ride with him thinking that I knew so much about Pearl Jam's Vitalogy. And if he's listening to this and remembers the story and remembers having a casual conversation with someone about Vitalogy on a 20-minute bus ride when he was like, I don't know, 15, then sorry to break it to you, dude.
So, I mean, Vibology and Vitalogy do sound very similar.
So similar. In fact,
so, yeah.
I think Vibology came out first. I can't.
I think it did. It did. I think it was 92. I think Vitalogy was 94 or something.
Yeah. But I can't imagine. I think it must have been a coincidence because I can't imagine that like Pearl Jam was so influenced by Paula Abdul, although you never know.
No, I'm sure it was a coincidence for sure. Okay. Well, Vitalogy, I think, is a real word. I'm pretty sure Vibology is just something she made up.
Well, in the song Vibology, Paula Abdul explains what Vibology is.
Okay, what is it?
She's like, you got that Vibology. I don't know. It's
well, she could explain it, but also have made it. I still think she made
that's
I still
right.
think she made
that's
it
right.
up.
She could have made up
a definition for it. It's marketing 101, basic stuff.
Okay.
So, okay, getting back to Rush Rush.
Okay. When this video came out, Keanu Reeves, a very young, very handsome Keanu Reeves, was already starring in Point Break, Bill and Ted's. He would soon be starring in My Own Private Idaho. And so people knew him. And he plays sort of the James Dean part in this video. Jonah, overall thoughts on this video?
You instructed me to watch the extended version.
Yes.
Which I hadn't watched before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's like 6 or 7 minutes long. It's an interesting video. It's confusing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the extended part of the is like they're both at the police station talking about their parents a lot.
Yeah, they're talking about their parents. And then someone says to Keanu, he's like, why'd you have to put that kid in the hospital? And Keanu Reeves is like, he called me a loser.
Yeah.
And it's like, a loser doesn't seem like that big of an insult to put someone in the hospital.
I know.
That felt
I know.
A little bit of like an extreme reaction.
Well, you know what's funny too is that when I was watching it again today, I thought when he says he put that kid in the hospital, I thought it was referencing the game of chicken that later happens where Keanu Reeves and the guy who's like the head of the like bad boys that Paula Abdul has been hanging out with do a chicken race where they race towards a cliff and Keanu Reeves jumps out of the car
right.
and the other guy goes down in the car. In the movie Rebel Without a Cause, that happens and the guy's like coat gets stuck on the front of the car and he can't get out of the car. And so that's why the other guy who's not James Dean dies. But in the movie, that guy dies. In this, I thought they were saying, oh, the kid just got put in the hospital
from this car accident.
Game of chicken.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible. However, I think I've talked about this on here before. I, you know, less than a year ago, got to meet my hero, Keanu Reeves. And the first thing I talked to him about was this video. And I asked him, does this come up for you all the time? And he said, no. he was so nice and still so handsome.
What did he say about it?
I said, you know, like, what was it like? He was like, you know, it was fine. It was fun, you know, whatever. And I said, do you remember why you did the video? And he was like, you know, I had done Bill and Ted's, but I was like starting to work. He's like, it was a job. He was like, they asked me to do it. And I, you know, did it. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And then I said, why do you put there's one section of the video where after the game of chicken happens, he goes into this abandoned house with Paula Abdul, also taken from Rebel Without a Cause. Like at some point, they run into an abandoned house to kind of like have sex or something. And in the music video before that happened, they run into the house and then he takes this like carafe of milk and he's like putting it on his head to like soothe his head. I've always thought that was a little odd. Again, also something that happens in Rebel Without a Cause. But I asked him, why do you put the carafe of milk on your face? And he said, I think it's something from the extended version when I'm banging my head.
Oh, right.
So he's like, I'm soothing my head from banging it on the desk.
In the beginning, he's banging his head on the desk.
But guess what that does? It puts my theory that the beginning of the extended version takes place after the game of chicken and all that stuff right in the S-H-I-T-T-E-R.
Well, yeah, it's a confusing, and I feel like actually the extended version makes it more confusing.
For sure. Because he's looking through a door, a peephole in a door, and he sees his parents fighting in like a different time zone.
It's also just funny seeing Keanu Reeves like, because is this supposed to take place in the 50s or
modern? Supposed to take place in the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And they go to Griffith Observatory.
Right.
It's basically like Keanu Reeves is like trying to date Paula Abdul's character, just like the Natalie Wood character in Rebel Without a Cause.
But they don't really talk. They just kind of make weird faces at each other.
Well, I think they've kind of met. And in Rebel Without a Cause, they've kind of like started talking a little bit. And then these bad boys that Natalie Wood hangs out with / Paula Abdul hangs out with are like, not for us. And then they all go on a school field trip to the observatory, which is a real cool place to look at star stuff in LA. Jonah, when you were in town, we hiked up to it and I said, do you want to see the part of the observatory where Keanu Reeves is sitting when the tire on his car gets slashed? And you said no. But so they go to the observatory for like a seminar at high school. And then in the movie, James Dean like kind of like is being like a little playful and like making noise and being like sort of dumb and silly. And in the video, Keanu's doing that, but it's harder to tell because you can't hear him doing it. You sort of right. see his mouth moving, but really the song is playing over it. And the bad boys get so mad at him and they're like, we're going to, you know, fight. And then they play the game of chicken. The main bad boy dies, or maybe he just gets put into the hospital, depending. And then they run into a house, an abandoned house, which really happens in Rebel Without a Cause. And then you think they're going to like, you know, make out and stuff. And that's the video. Except there's also moments where Paula Abdul is in three different outfits kind of singing. And one is an orange dress. One is like a black feather kind of like bra and pants. And then one's a silver rhinestone dress.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, that was Rush Rush. So yeah, hadn't watched that before. Vaguely remember it being on when we were growing up, but not exactly my thing, but glad you dug it.
I also said to Keanu, have you seen Paula Abdul since this video? And he said, yeah, I saw her once and it was nice.
Wow.
He was so nice though. I have to say, I find him to be very sweet. He really indulged me. Like he really let me ask him questions about it for a long time. And
he's probably tired of people asking about The Matrix and all these things that, you know, are incredibly popular and well known. This is probably something like he said, he probably doesn't get asked about a lot. So that could be kind of interesting for him.
That could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Also, just all-time heartthrob, Keanu Reeves. I really do think it's fun to watch this video with the two of them.
Yeah, it is.
I think they have chemistry.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. Next up, Vanessa, the video you picked was Bon Jovi's Always. And I actually have a little bit of a Bon Jovi story, a firsthand
okay,
Bon Jovi story.
Okay, let's hear it, Jonah.
I don't know when this was. I was doing a story on the All-American Rejects. They were playing Madison Square Garden, opening for Bon Jovi.
Okay.
I was at the show. I'd known those guys a long time. So I was kind of hanging out and I was also doing a story or something. And we were backstage and can't remember if it was before or after they played. But anyways, Bon Jovi like drove into the arena. They like came in these limos or SUVs or something. That, I guess like at Madison Square Garden. This is my memory. It's a little fuzzy, okay. But they drove in. I think it was after the All-American Rejects had played. Everyone was kind of hanging out. And then they were like, okay, everyone has to like go into the rooms. Like no one can be in the hallways. Kind of like when me and you went to see Guns N' Roses and we got kicked out.
Right.
Right before. That's the only other time I've ever seen this. I've been backstage at a million concerts. No one's ever like everyone has to leave this area
Someone
can walk down the hallway. But yeah, they cleared like the whole hallway. And then at some point, Richie Sambora was out. He's not in the band anymore, but he was in the band at this point. And he was talking to some of the guys in the band. And I was with this other guy, Neil Rubenstein, who's a friend of the band. And Richie Sambora kind of like came over and said hi to the guys in the band and looked at me and Neil and then just didn't acknowledge us and just went back. Like basically looked at us like, you guys are clearly not in the All-American Rejects. I'm not going to engage with you. And we just kind of stood there. And then he left and we were like, that was kind of rude.
That was kind of rude of Richie Sambora.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I felt like even like a head nod, something would have been nice.
Yeah. Acknowledge your existence, you know? And I bet he'd be, if he's listening to this podcast now, then now that you're the star of a podcast.
Yeah. I would.
Mental health counselor. He probably feels pretty bad.
Yeah. Bet you he's not listening to this.
Jonah.
But yeah, that's my Bon Jovi story. I watched some of their set. It was fine. But yeah, got kind of.
Wow.
That's it. But same time period, 94. It's off their second greatest hits album, Crossroads, one of their best-selling singles, sold more than 3 million copies.
Yeah.
This was Alex John Such's final single with the band before he left the band in 94. And this has a connection to Romeo's Bleeding, which we talked about on our soundtracks episode. What is the deal exactly again?
The deal is that the song was originally written by John Bon Jovi for the soundtrack to the 1993 film Romeo's Bleeding, starring Gary Oldman as a corrupt cop. And after Bon Jovi was unimpressed by a preview screening of the movie, which did turn out to be a box office flop, he decided not to lend Always to the producers. Bon Jovi commented, the script was great, the movie wasn't. So he left the track on his shelf and he forgot about it until John Kolodner, a friend and A&R executive, found it and convinced him to re-record and release the song. And boy, are we glad he did. Now, remember
this.
And boy,
are we glad that Wikipedia exists so we could just read that word for word.
So little research. Okay, but I did do some research on this. And so I remember this song was really, really big. So if you'll notice, it came out September 1994, otherwise known as Big Bar and Bat Mitzvah Year for me. Okay?
Sure.
Start of the Bar and Bat Mitzvah season for me, that AKA seventh grade. And this song would always play at Bar and Bat Mitzvahs. And this music video was huge. It was a very narrative music video. It starred Keri Russell and Carla Gugino and two guys who I'll get to. But I would say that the real star of this music video is, guess who I would say is the real star of this music video, Jonah?
I don't know who.
Bon Jovi's hair. Because it keeps cutting to him singing in between like the narrative story. And his hair is great. It's like the most 90s. This is peak Bon Jovi, like doing his thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me kind of briefly describe the video to you. Okay. And this is what happens. And then I want to get your thoughts. It's the guy who was for a moment in that show, Dead at 21 on MTV, a short-lived show. So that guy's looking at a photo of his girlfriend, Carla Gugino. I don't know if that's actually how you pronounce her name, but he's like remembering her. And then they cut to all these scenes of him, like kind of like making out with her. And then they cuts to him and he's taping her as she does this. He's like making a video of her doing this kind of like sexy dance. Then he and her go to this really weird dance club and they like are dancing a lot and they get home and they're wearing these big Dr. Seuss hats. They really look like they're from Dr. Seuss. Like I think that was their intent. And then they fall and they wake up. Her roommate, played by iconic actress Keri Russell.
From the Neutrogena commercials.
Jonah, that's Rebecca Gayheart. The reason you got them confused is because they both have gorgeous curly hair.
Well, yeah, I stand corrected.
But Felicity. So Keri Russell, who is Felicity and I've just recently started watching The Americans, which she's incredible in. But Felicity's home, she gets woken up. She's like, ugh, now I can't fall back asleep, but I'm going to watch TV. She turns on the TV and starts seeing kind of like the sexy video that the guy from 21 and Dead took of
her boyfriend.
Dead at 21. Think. Her boyfriend made that Carla Gugino's
boyfriend.
You
can identify
made.
As his boyfriend, not someone from like an obscure TV show.
Well, his name's like something Noseworthy, but
Jack. I think it's Jack.
Jack Noseworthy?
Sure.
Okay. So Jack took this video and she sees it and she's kind of like, this is crazy. So then the next day, Carla and Jack are leaving the apartment. They're like saying bye to Keri Russell and Jack kind of like winks at her. Kind of a scuzzy move. You're like, oh boy, he sucks. So then come to Carla gets home later in the day with groceries. She just went, you know, she probably bought some great groceries to make a great dinner. She gets home and she sees that Jack and Keri Russell's characters are now making their own kind of like sex tape thing. And she's like, WTF. And she throws the groceries at them, which I remember that so much. I also remember other stuff, but I'll leave that for later because it will get in the way of my description, as if this description has been like super smooth already. She's so pissed. Carla Gugino leaves the apartment. She runs away. She's sitting on the street kind of crying. And this guy, who we will later know to be playing the role of Colin on Beverly Hills 90210, comes up to her and he's like, are you okay? And he brings her back to his loft apartment where she's like, oh my God, you're a cool artist. Okay. And he's like, yeah. He gives her this glass of champagne in this very like intense shot that I remember from being a kid where there's so much light on her face as she starts drinking the champagne. Anyway, and then he starts painting her. You can see it's like a nude painting kind of. And it's like nothing weird happens. She goes to bed by herself in this cool A-frame bed. The guy whose loft it is has left the loft and she calls Jack Noseworthy. I don't even know if that's really his name. And she's like, come on back over. Like, let's be cool. He comes back over. He's like making up with her. And then he sees the painting and he sees that she did like a nude painting for him. He gets so mad. He's so disrespectful. He starts fucking up this very cool loft. And then he like punches through the painting, which I'm like, okay, good artwork that you probably would add value to your place. So he messes that up. Then she walks out. She's like, forget you. She walks out. Then we learn he like lights fire and explodes this loft. And then you see him walking away. So Carla's already left. He's leaving. And then he on the street while the firemen are there and all the fire trucks and stuff, the fire people, he walks past the guy who would later play Colin, the artist whose loft it was. And I guess if there's one thing I could take from this video, it's that when I was younger, I thought someone might have died in the fire, but nobody dies in the fire because you see both of those guys walk past each other and then you see her leave before the fire happens. So I guess I'm happy nobody died in the fire. But then at the very end of the video, the guy, Jack Noseworthy, you see that he's looking at this photo of Carla Gugino and he's so sad. And it's like, well, you absolutely deserved it. You've acted like an absolute child and idiot. Jonah?
I thought that maybe that was Bon Jovi at the end when they like, well, he walks past it, like some guy and they like look at each other.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was, okay.
It's not.
It's not. Okay. That would have been cool. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, I really like some Bon Jovi stuff. Their album Jersey, I had on cassette growing up. This was a little later era for me. These ballads were a little, could be a little cheesy. This is a good song though. Not my favorite. You know, what I noticed the most was Carla Gugino. I recognize her, who she's from. She was the love interest of Pauly Shore in Son-in-Law.
Yes, she was. She was also in Troop Beverly Hills. She was in the troupe with Jenny Lewis.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen Son-in-Law so many times. I feel like that was a movie that was really on TV a lot.
We loved that movie.
Yeah. So it was interesting seeing her. And this was probably around the same era. Like, because she looks the same.
Yes, she's so beautiful. It's so funny because she's done so much stuff since Troop Beverly Hills and Son-in-Law. But it's okay. Those are the things that we first fell in love with her. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I felt like the video was confusing. I also felt like the thing that I found to be really funny was like how bad the special effects were. Kind of in all these videos, whenever they have special effects, they just like were not quite there yet. So like that scene you're talking about at the end where he's looking at the photo of her and then he like sees her and he's trying to touch her and he's going through the wall kind of. And it just like looks so fake and dumb. These effects, you can tell what they're... The artistic ideas just don't match up with the technology yet.
Right. I will say the explosion of the apartment, the loft, I thought was pretty realistic.
That could have been real. That could have been real, though, right?
They
could have just blown fire out of the windows. I mean, like...
Right.
I mean,
that's
I don't know. I don't know enough about this stuff, but that could have been real. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on the budget, right?
It totally depends on the budget.
I mean, I think the budget was okay for this. But yeah, I felt like some of the stuff where he's trying to like reach through walls or that kind of stuff was tough. But I don't know. Again, you know, I didn't have the same connection to this video as you did.
Yeah.
I didn't really remember this video, to be honest. It definitely has that kind of 90s music video, ambiguous, like love story storyline that was kind of, in both these videos really, kind of pervasive in that era.
And the other thing that to me, which Jonah, I'm sure you missed this, no judgment, but the other thing that is so 90s to me about this video is that, you know, I always pay attention to everyone's clothes and stuff in these kinds of videos. I remember thinking that the pink dress that Carla Gugino wears when she catches her roommate and Jack Noseworthy cheating on her, I thought the dress was really cool. It was so 90s. Seems like you don't have much to say, so let's go to our first commercial break and we'll be right back.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. So Jonah, the next video I picked, I thought would maybe be of a little more interest to you than the previous two. And that is Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun.
Yeah. So this is awesome video. I remember this one well. I actually saw Soundgarden on this tour.
Wow.
Yeah. Saw them on this tour. I actually looked up the date. It was June of 1994.
Wow.
It was a super unknown tour. They played with Tad. Yep. June 26, 1994 at Nautica Pavilion with Tad. And so I saw them on this tour. I think I might have actually even crowd surf to this very song.
Whoa.
In 1994.
Wow.
And I might have gotten dropped on my head.
Oh, man.
I can't remember. I got dropped on my head during Collective Soul's Shine, and I think maybe this song. I got dropped a couple times, I think.
When you
maybe.
Got dropped on your head during Shine, was it at the part where the guy goes, I'm gonna let it shine, I'm gonna let it shine, this is the light on the shine on me.
It's possible.
Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah.
It's possible. Okay. It's possible. It was this Buzzard Fest. It was Green Day was supposed to play. And,
WMMS Buzzard Fest?
Yeah, it was the first one, and Green Day was supposed to play on like Dookie, and they ended up, so many people showed up that they shut this show down, wouldn't let them play because they expected like a couple thousand, and like so many people came. And then they ended up playing at Blossom later that year.
Okay, so they wouldn't let them play because they thought the crowd would be too crazy?
Yeah, there were too many people there, and they were like, Green Day can't go on, or people are going to go nuts.
Yeah, I understand. So they were like, but Collective Soul, you guys
are
They
were
good.
Like, Collective Soul, go ahead. There were a bunch of bands played before them.
Yeah.
I don't think they were worried about people rioting during Collective Soul's set. No offense, guys, but...
Even Shine, to me, it doesn't, like, hit that hard.
No, they're, like, one of those bands that were really big during that era that even when I'm feeling nostalgic, they're not one of the go-to bands for me to, like, listen. Like, I don't need to hear them again. If it was on the radio, I probably would just leave it, but they're not, like, the Jim Blossoms or even, like, the Spin Doctors or something where I'm like, oh, I want to, like, go back and, like, check this out. It's like, now I think I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
But also, I may have an injury from them, so that could be sort of, you know, reminding me of my...
Yeah, maybe you're holding that against them. Okay, so...
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Black Hole Sun video? And you also have a...
Personal...
Chris Cornell story about a personal connection.
I didn't realize
we'd have so many personal connections to these videos as adults.
Yeah, I know. So this video, just to remind people, it's sort of a surreal, apocalyptic video. Basically, it takes place in this sort of like suburban neighborhood, and what happens is as has this like black hole sun, is kind of collecting stuff in sort of like a eerie way. All the people are sort of cartoonish and their grins like stretch out really wide and their eyes open really far, like up and down, like vertically. And it's sort of like a weird looking video, but there's all these different scenes that we see of like weird takes of standard suburban people. So there's like a woman putting on lipstick while this like really muscly guy does push-ups. There's a woman slicing a fish in a really eerie way. There's a guy who's like feeding a lamb with a bottle. There's a girl who's doing ballet. There's a woman tanning. And then later she has like a weird tongue that goes out and catches a fly. Like there's just all these weird takes of these weird people. But one of the things that happens in this video is there's this girl with curly hair and braces who's jumping rope. And I remember when I was younger, I actually have two connections to this video, but this one's cooler. People used to say that I looked like the girl who was jumping rope. I think specifically your old friend Chad Cookenham used to say that. And someone I thought was cool didn't love the compliment, but I think I actually did think it was cool that I looked like this girl. But the point is, one time when I was on SNL, the Zac Brown Band played and they had Chris Cornell performing with them. It was so crazy because I also remember like being in this office and they were like downstairs rehearsing and I could tell it was Chris. I was like, is Chris Cornell the guest this week? I could tell it was his voice. He has such a great signature voice and it was him. Anyway, at the Good Nights for the show that week, I went up to him and I said, you know, when I was little, people used to tell me that I look like the girl jumping rope in the Black Hole Sun video. And he said, really? And then I said, well, I used to wear braces. And then he was like, oh yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. And there was recently an article in Spin. I also write for Spin. And they interviewed this woman. She's 42 now, known as a jump rope girl from that video. And it sounds like hundreds of people auditioned to be in this.
Wow.
And yeah, she said it was fun. It was kind of fun to leave your mark on something so popular, but a show made didn't want to get into the industry. And so, yeah, she lives in Arizona now and she has five kids and an entrepreneur. Wow. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. This article is a recent article from Spin by Chris Harris. And it talks about how kids from videos from like Blind Melon and Soundgarden and stuff, like what they're doing now.
Wow, that's so cool. Well, so, yeah. I really thought it was cool that Chris Cornell could see that if I had braces on, he could kind of see the connection. And
sure.
I also want to say that when I was in middle school, my friend Samantha Licker and I did like for our theater arts class, we did an assignment where we had to like work with camcorders. This shows how old, I mean, I'm 41. I'm a year younger than the actual girl who was jump roping, but we had to like edit and do all this stuff with videos. And we recreated the Black Hole Sun video. And I both played that girl and I played the part of the girl who eats ice cream. The other role in that video that I remember, like without even watching it, is the girl who's eating ice cream and then she lets the ice cream like come out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, just a really interesting video. And then at the end of it, everyone kind of gets sucked up into this black hole sun. Yeah. Very recognizable, iconic.
I really enjoy this video. I mean, I think this video, it's like all the kind of like psychedelic, like melting features and stuff is really cool. Like to me, this is an example of them like using the technology they have in like a really good way.
Like, as opposed to Always, where they were kind of pushing it.
Yeah, and Always they're kind of pushing it. This, they were like, okay, we can kind of like manipulate this stuff a little bit just to make it look kind of like psychedelic. And they did a really good job with that. Obviously, this is just like, this record and this song are so great. The playing is just so good. Chris Cornell, obviously, like one of the best vocalists of this era. I think this video is awesome. I mean, to be honest, I feel like everyone getting like swept up in the black hole is like almost like a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
I feel like we almost like didn't really need like that. I mean, I get it. That's sort of like Black Hole Sun, but I almost feel like just the imagery is so strong on its own. That
I agree. I agree. Yeah. When I was looking up this video, did you know that Chris Cornell is wearing a fork necklace given to him by Shannon Hoon of Blind Melon?
No, I didn't know that. But obviously Blind Melon, No Rain,
yes,
another
a very iconic,
very iconic kind of totally video from this era.
And I also think that Chris Cornell looks so young and 90s in this video in a great way. Like he just looks like a classic 90s guy. His hair is so short and stuff. I know we've talked about him before. I just think he was so great.
Yeah. And, you know, according to our research, they said that this is one of the few videos that Soundgarden was satisfied with.
Yeah.
So even Soundgarden liked this, and apparently they were kind of not the biggest fans of making videos. So, you know, although I thought that Spoonman video was pretty cool, Rusty Cage, I thought they had pretty good videos from this era overall. They had pretty cool videos.
Well, I can't think of what those other videos were off the top of my head.
You remember the Spoonman one where they had the guy playing the spoons?
Oh, like yeah, I guess so. I guess kind of. Spoonman, like that. Come together. I know you weren't saying, do you remember the song? But I just wanted to sing it for you a little.
Okay.
Save me, Paul, save.
We're going to take a quick break and spare you from Vinesha's a cappella version of Spoon Man. But we'll be right back after this.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So we're back. Jonah, for our last music video of this episode, I thought, I know this has been a Vanessa's Picks episode, but I thought I'd let you do one Jonah's pick. And you want to talk about your pick?
Sure, yeah. So I thought I would throw one of my picks on at the end. It is the Metallica video for The Unforgiven.
Yeah,
rough.
Also like a confusing video, but like in a more artsy way, maybe than some of these other videos, specifically the Paul Abdul video.
Okay.
And it's black and white, you know, it's just shot very dark. It's this kid, he pulls his chair up to this wall, goes in this room, and then he has this locket and he's kind of trapped in this stone room for his whole life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's carving stuff into the wall. He's basically trying to escape the whole time. And in between, there's like black and white footage of Metallica playing this kind of ballad. At the end, he's like an old man and he pushes his way out and walks away. And I think it's like supposed to be representative of just like a struggle and just, you know, this battle against time. I think it's just like a really cool, striking video, but also very creepy. And I just love the guitar solo also in this. This is probably my favorite Metallica guitar solo. And there's a documentary. I don't know if you do you remember I had that Metallica box set. It came in that big box.
Yeah,
it's called Live Ship, Binge and Purge.
Oh yeah, I do, because I remember thinking the title was really offensive.
Yeah. It had a couple VHS tapes and like a triple live CD, like a stencil, but it had this documentary, A Year and a Half in the Life of Metallica, and where I think they're making the Black Album with Bob Rock in the studio. And it shows like Kirk Hammett like putting this solo together and Bob Rock kind of coaching him on it. And to me, this is like one of the coolest guitar solos ever from like this era. So yeah, this is a cool video. I texted Ricky Rackman tonight.
Our cousin.
Our cousin, host of the Headbangers Ball, to see if he had any thoughts on it. you know, he said, I have a fear when he gets 60 that when he takes his shirt off, he would look like the old man in this video.
That's funny.
So that's pretty funny. I also don't know why I thought I would ask him this because he was, you know.
Yeah, host of Headbangers Ball. Good
hanging
idea.
With Metallica this era. I said, I'm confused of how the kid grows up without any food. This was something I always wondered about, like how...
That's so funny. It's so funny how certain things get stuck in your head. I was thinking the same thing about a bathroom.
Yeah. The bathroom you could survive without, though. I mean, you could go in the corner, you could... I mean, without any food, you know, this kid's in there for like 75 years.
Yeah. What are your other questions? And then I'll get into my impression of this video, which is not good.
Well, I asked Ricky about, and he said, they ate concrete dust. It tastes like chicken. So that could be true. I don't know. Clearly, I've given the details of the video a lot more thought than you or our cousin. But thank you so much, Ricky, for indulging. You know, we talked about, I think, on the Andrew McMahon episode about how we just like, we'll text him this random stuff and he's probably like, I'm so sorry that I gave these
people
Bayers my phone number because now yeah. I have Jonah text him like, what do you think of the Unforgiven video? But he's always is very nice and writes back. And so thank you, Ricky, for those insights. Those were really funny. But yeah, I was always hung up on how they eat, like if he's a prisoner, if someone's bringing him food every day, like we don't really see that. So that was something that was hard for me to suspend my disbelief around that, even though I always like the video, that was something I was always kind of wondering about that was unexplained. But Vanessa, yeah, so you're not a fan of this video.
I think the song itself, I always found to be like a little depressing, even though I can see how like musically there's something to it. But I realized, I think when I watched this music video today, it was my first time ever sitting through it because I think I would have always changed the channel immediately when it would come on. Or if you were watching it, I would probably just leave the room. I find this video to be so depressing and I find it to be so upsetting. Like sometimes when certain horror movies come out, I get mad that they exist because I'm like, who is this for? And why do we need to see this? And that's exactly how I feel about this music video. And again, if any members of Metallica ever want to be on our podcast, happy to have them. But basically, I was watching it and I was like, part of my French, what the fuck is going on? And then I looked on Wikipedia and it says, so basically their description is, and by the way, it's in black and white in case you wanted it to be more depressing. It's themed around a boy who's born into captivity, who spends his life in a windowless stone room. Okay, what the fuck? I don't ever need to see that. So then it says, as the video progresses, he ages into an adult, then an old man. He spends his entire life carving into the stone to create a window while occasionally grasping his one possession, a locket. It is implied that another captive lives on the other side of the stone room. Now, is the other captive the guy who has like sort of crazy hair, the older guy?
Yeah, the guy who looks like Christopher Lloyd.
Okay, okay. The video ends with the old man finally creating a window through which he deposits his possession. He blocks off the tunnel through which... So he does get through the tunnel.
Yeah.
But I don't understand because isn't the window really high up? Are there two openings?
He carves it the opening and then he puts the block back at the end and closes it up.
He closes it up like behind him?
Yeah.
Isn't the window like really high?
I don't know. It's like high, but yeah, I mean, he can get out of it. I don't know. He carves it, so it can't be that high.
But isn't there then another opening that's like low where he crawls out?
I think that's the one maybe connecting to the other... prisoner or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. So then he crawls through this tunnel. So he does get out. In my mind, I thought he doesn't get out. And then he closes it back up and then he dies. I go.
That's implied. I don't know. I mean, we don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he goes on and lives like a fulfilling rest of his life. I'd like to think that. Wikipedia says he dies. Wikipedia says then lies down to die. But you know, it's not for me. Okay. Oh, the thing that I remember the most about this video from being a kid is that when he's sort of like middle-aged, that his skin looks almost like crumbly, like there's like a lot of dust or something on his skin. But anyways, as an overall review, I'd say hate this video. And I just find it to be so depressing. And it's interesting because we are brother and sister and we share a lot of similar views. And obviously we have different interests and stuff like that. But it almost made me mad at you that you wanted to talk about this video because I hated it so much.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's very aligned with the videos from Metallica from that era, like Enter Sandman 1, obviously a little earlier. But yeah, I think it's a cool video. I think it's like really kind of like a dark kind of artsy video. And, you know, everything can't be really just kind of obvious, you know, and just very kind of like the Always video. Everything can't be Felicity Light, I guess, you know?
Okay. Can I ask you, as now a therapist?
Sure.
I know this might sound like a very silly question, and I don't mean it that way. I really mean it as a real question. It seems like a lot of these Metallica songs, especially during this era, were like, you know, Enter Sandman, and all, they're all like sort of depressing. I get that Enter Sandman from like purely a musical. Again, it's kind of got a cool hook musically. I know I sound really like a musician here. But when you listen to those albums, isn't it so depressing?
No, I don't think. I mean, I think if you know the more of the context, I mean, it's you know, I think a lot of it is about like trauma and suffering. And, you know, James Hetfield is their lyricist. He was like raised as like a Christian Scientist. So he had all these kind of issues around this kind of stuff. So I think it's just, he had like a very complicated view on like mortality and life and death. And I think he's actually like a pretty good lyricist. But I do think, you know, to your point, like a lot of the music and imagery is pretty dark, especially this era. And what's interesting is that, you know, they redid this, like they made Unforgiven 2, which I tried sending you. That to me
I tried to watch it. I got through like 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was like, kind of tough to watch. I mean, it's like, this is like the kind of short hair era Metallica. James Hetfield's playing like a Telecaster guitar, which is like bizarre. And it's like, but it's directed by the same director. And so it has the same kind of aesthetic. It sounds like the same song. So, and I think there might be an Unforgiven 3.
Yeah. We won't be reviewing 2 and 3 because...
yeah, we're not going to do that. But yeah, no, I get it. It's darker. It's definitely a different vibe than these other videos, but still a classic. Still worth checking out if you're looking for some classic jams.
Yeah, and to be so bummed out. Well, okay, Jonah, this has been so fun. I'm not really mad at you that I had to watch Unforgiven. I think that art comes in a lot of forms and, you know, my preferences are different than yours, and that's what family is.
Okay, yeah, well, I wasn't really offended, so it's but thank you for defining what family is to me. I really truly appreciate that. And yeah, this was really fun, and hopefully, you know, maybe we can do a Jonas Picks moving forward, and hopefully
I would love to do Jonas Picks, but you know, I'm gonna throw something in there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get, then I get my pick at the end of that one, and you know, I'm gonna throw in something super light and just having fun, having a blast. Well, that was so much fun, Jonah. Thank you to everyone for listening. Anything else, Jonah, that you want to say about any of these videos before I sign off?
No, I think that's it. Yeah, thanks so much for the internet for letting us watch these videos. And thank you to our listeners.
Everyone, remember, if you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast. Keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more cultural touchstones and stories from our childhood. Thanks, Jonah. That was fun.
Thank you. Vanessa's Picks.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.